Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio, and yes, I know we had an extra day off. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but stop on by there, check it out. You never know what's going to go on over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, the three E's. And if you go there now, you can see my two wins.
So, all right. Well, you'll get a kick out of this funny story, Dan. We, you know, the baseball season's winding down, and this is the last week of our money league. And you know, they changed the dynamic a little this year, but what they decided to do is they decided to have a playoff draft. You know, so we obviously you're just going to draft guys off the playoff teams. You're going to go with seven hitters and three pitchers. You know, and then there's prize money for first, second, and third. So they get it all set up, and I get the email. They sent it out last night. The draft is Sunday at 9 p.m.
What?
How's that fit into my schedule, Dan?
I guess you better give him a list.
Yeah, now this is a league that – they rearrange every draft to fit everybody's schedule except for mine. So I asked Mr. Fantasy about it. What was the only time they could do it? Really?
Well, but here's the thing. I know this league from what you've told me about. And all I got to say is actually it most likely will work for you. You may miss the first pick, but I think from what I understand – and the length of time that it takes everyone to make a pick. I mean, if you guys are the last pick, you should be right on track. You might actually be, you know, at that point walking out the door to go to work.
Yeah, so. there is an actual that I can catch the end of the draft because, yeah, you figure it's – I don't even know how many teams, but if we got – everybody's got to make 10 selections, yeah, this draft is going to go well into the morning. But what's humorous, Dan, is – they set this all up, and there's a chance that the playoffs might not even be set because you got to remember, St. Louis has two games basically on hold that they might or might not have to play. So what I don't understand is what happens if the Cardinals have to play these two games on Monday? You know, I mean, what if you pick a Cardinals player? Because obviously there's going to be some that are, you know, very worthwhile to have. Even if, you know, the possibility that you may only get two or three games out of them, that's the risk you take. But how does that work? You know, and of course nobody knows. So, yeah, I was just like, you know, so, yeah, I emailed Mr. Fantasy, and I'm like, you know, do they do this intentionally? You know, no, this is the only time they could have it. I'm like, really? Why couldn't they have it Monday at an earlier time? You know, and why so late? Why do they have to wait for that Sunday night game to be finished to do the draft? So, yeah, again, it's just another one of those situations where I'm just kind of the outside guy looking in. And then to make it even funnier, well, first of all, there isn't a Sunday night game, so that kind of cancels my idea there. But yeah, to make it funnier, Dan, I get the email, and it's only addressed to Mr. Fantasy. And I'm like, really? How many years have I been in this league with him? So yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of like, yay, here we go, whoopee. So, but all right, well, let's see. We got a caller here, Dan. Let's see how this goes. Hey, caller, you there? What's your name?
Yeah, hi. This is Louie from Jersey. I've been here before.
Yeah, hey, Louie, how are you?
Oh, hey, how's it going?
All right, yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of you, but it hasn't had that much luck. But I've been following the NBA playoffs rather closely, mostly though associated, though, with the Lakers-Nuggets series, since I have been a fan of the Lakers for a very long time. You know, what a game two turned out to be. I didn't think that shot was going to go in, to be honest. Yeah, great win. Too bad that my NBA predictions got all screwed up, though. Oh, boy. You know, I was really hoping. Well, no, I shouldn't say, because Lakers, Celtics still seem possible, but, you know, my Western Conference Finals got screwed up. My Eastern Conference Finals got screwed up. I mean, because the second round, you know, it caught us all by surprise.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody was expecting Clippers-Lakers out west, right? Is that what you had?
Well, I was. Yes, I did.
Yeah. So, and then who did you have in the east? You had Boston and who?
No, I had, well, I had Boston and I had Milwaukee, you know, with the Greek Freak.
Cool. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least your finals are still alive. That's a big plus.
Yeah. But
Miami's going to take over.
I mean, why is that the Bucks and the Clippers can't seem to pull past the second round? I mean, you know, they've got to be two of the biggest choke artists, I think, in the NBA.
Yeah, well, you know, I think what we learned about the Bucks is you can't do it with one guy, right?
Yeah, apparently not.
And now, do you have the Lakers winning, or you got? I'm assuming, or you got the Celtics?
No, Lakers all the way.
Did you have to pick games? How many games you got that going?
Well, look, I think that if it's going to be Celtics and Lakers, I can tell it's going to go seven. This is not going to go quietly. You got two historic franchises, regular each other's throats. It's going to be a dogfight of a series. This is not going to be no quick exit.
So, well, you know, Louis, since, you know, the NBA is your thing, maybe you can help me out with this. I've been really surprised with the way the ratings have kind of struggled. Why do you think they can't seem to get people to watch?
Well, I don't know if it's because maybe now football's back in session and that causes it. And I think a lot of people are just upset, you know, with what's going on with certain political nonsense that's going on. So there's a lot of factors that contribute to it, and up here college football as well. So really, it's a lot of things that are really causing me to struggle this year. You know, basketball, the playoffs are supposed to be like in spring and summer, and I don't think they're used to this idea with like playing in fall, especially now with the NFL and college football in full swing. So you really got to contribute that to a fact. Contribute that to a factor. I think that's probably the main factor.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense. It is a little odd when I see, you know, where basketball is at this point in time, because what normally they're done by the end of June, right?
Correct.
So,
right around Father's Day.
Yeah, I think we should pretty much be getting ready to start the new season instead of end one.
Yeah.
So.
Right, and with the way it looks right now, they're not saying, now I may not have it until January. My hope doesn't take that long. I would like to see basketball back by Christmas. But the commissioner thinks otherwise.
So, yeah, I did catch a little bit of an article today that mentioned they don't really have an idea yet on when next season's going to start. So, you know, Christmas makes sense because they've kind of taken over that day anyway. So why not start there?
Why not? You know, well, at least we got college basketball coming back regardless. Thank God.
Do you see them trying to squeeze in a full season, or do you think they'll change the amount of games?
If you start before the new year, yes. If you don't, if you start after the new year, I don't think so. Because don't forget, they're still planning to have the Olympics next year, and they'll probably have the NBA players. So if you're going to do it, I think you should start doing it before the new year comes, because if you're going to play a full season, you're going to screw that all up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Olympics.
I didn't. So, you know, I think the commissioner better rethink this plan. Like, you know, there was rumors saying we're going to start in February or March. No, that's ridiculous. That's way too late. The best thing to do is to start Christmas Day. That's when really people start paying attention to the league. Anywho.
But, yeah, with the NBA being looked at as a players' league, do you think the players would be okay with such a short off season, and then could they get in, you know, the draft and a free agency period? You think they could get that before Christmas?
Unanimously, no. I don't think all the players are going to agree to that. Some will, some won't. You're not gonna please everybody with that. That's a given. You know, but maybe the majority might think it, but unanimous decision on that? No. Let's think this over a bit. The finals would probably start about, let's see, we're at September 23rd now, probably like about October 1st or 2nd. If it goes the full distance, it would be to like October 16th. You know, because I don't know if they'll want to, you know, 8 weeks of short season. You know, some might think, nah, that's too short. We didn't get proper training time or whatnot. But you don't want to delay it too far, because then you're going to mess everything else up. So you're really in a bind here.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, interesting to see how they play it out.
Of course, it's nobody's fault. Keep that in mind.
No, yeah, I mean, nobody, you know, knew this was going to happen, so it's just one of those things. You know, because I know I did see the NHL announce they plan on playing a full season next year. And that's what I was wondering, if the NBA was going to follow and try to do the same thing.
Yes, but when did they say they were going to start that?
You know, I don't know if they gave out a date either. You know, they just kind of threw out the idea that they play all 80. I think it's 82 in the NHL.
82. But I wouldn't trust anything Gary Bettman said, because, of course, he is the worst commissioner in all of sports.
Yeah. You know, but I, you know, but to be fair, you know, they've done a nice job with, you know, their playoffs too. The way they've handled it. So, you know, he deserves some credit for that. But, you know, it's just, again, like you said, it's a weird situation. And, but yeah, kind of getting back to on court with you. Do the Lakers sweep here, or do you think the Nuggets get a game?
Sweep? No. As much as I'd like to see it happen, I think Denver's got something in them. I think, you know, they may learn something from game two, and they'll try to work it out for game three. A sweep, no. I would say five games.
Oh, okay. So that's not too much. Yeah. Yeah, you would think, especially at this point with the way the teams are. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but sweeps so much. All right,
so what else is going on with you there, Louie? You guys still doing your show on that other service?
Absolutely. We keep going strong. I haven't even stopped.
So we're
still on Saturdays 5 to 7 o'clock Eastern Time.
And what's the name, and where are you? While I'm thinking about it,
it's called GaryBettmanSucks.com. No, the Enhanced Sports Show. I always like to do a little sarcasm. We're on Saturdays 5 to 7 East Coast time. The number is 512-543-4662. I'll repeat that one more time, 512-543-4662. Don't need to dial any extra numbers, no PIN, no nothing, extra one. Just dial it, and you can be there. You can also look up on the Uber site.
Ah, okay. So we get that out there for everybody. hopefully we'll get the.
They're not related. They're not related.
So, that's cool. So, all right. Well, hey, Louis, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Nice to be back.
So yeah, we hadn't heard from Louis in a little while. So nice for him to drop by. And fortunately, Dan, he's a little more versed in the NBA than either you or I are. So that helps a little.
So we might have to bring him back a little more.
Yeah, obviously, you know, our biggest problem is I just think neither of us are really paying attention, are we? I mean, how many games have you watched since they've been back? I mean, have you watched a full game?
No. This is probably one of the first seasons where I haven't. Well, I guess it's not the first season because it's technically so far last season. But I don't know what it is. And I think part of what he says holds true is that this is not basketball season. And, you know, even regardless of if you're into NFL or college football, like I'm, you know, casual NFL person. Don't watch any college football, but I guess we're so trained that it just doesn't feel like basketball season, you know, so you just mentally can't even put that together. And then add the fact with the stands, the way they're set up, you know, like I told you before, it just reminds me of watching the G League, you know, it kind of gives that aura, so to speak, where, you know, at least with the NFL and baseball, you know, they're in their stadium. So even though you don't have the fans, you still have that ambiance, so to speak. You know, that background, I guess you could say. Because that's what you're looking at more, is the background. And it just still looks like a pro game. Can you know, kind of picture watching the Cubs versus the Cardinals in South Bend? While it would be really cool for South Bend, you know, in a one-time thing, but throughout the season, I don't know that I'd be watching a whole lot of baseball, you know, pro games when they're at the minor league stadium. You know, just like I don't really even get into the Little League World Series game. I just don't get into it. I don't watch
those
it.
Those are frightening. So yeah. I can't blame you for not watching those.
But no, but you did bring up the NHL, and I wanted to ask you this one. So, you know, you asked him if he had an idea when they would start, and I was slightly thinking about it. Do you think, I don't know if this is crazy or not, but, you know, with the NHL being kind of linked up with NBC Sports and NBC Sports not really having a presence throughout the summer, except, you know, with that portion of the NASCAR that they get, do you think maybe the NHL and NBC have kind of been in talks, especially during this whole thing? And, you know, you mentioned a full season, 82 games next year. You think maybe they would just start the 82 games around Christmas or something and kind of have an overlap with baseball?
Yeah, you know, I think if they're legitimately going to try to do this, yeah, you know, that would be a good start date, if not sooner, if there's a way they could, you know, kind of manage to, you know, to get to that point. So, you know, we'll just kind of have to see how it goes. But, yeah, it's difficult, you know, to just kind of be like, oh, yeah, hey, there you go.
Well, you know, because if they don't have – because then they'd only be kind of competing with one other league. And if you look at the setup right now, when it comes to the fall and then we go into the winter, granted it's not the whole winter, you know, Louis said it himself. No one really gets into the NBA until Christmas Day anyways. You know, if the NHL kind of brought themselves into a start in, you know, December or January – then they would have less of an overlap with the NFL and NBA. Then they'd only be overlapping with the NBA and Major League Baseball for a few months. Well, I guess the whole time. But do you think they would get better ratings and maybe watch more where, you know, if you put a hockey game in on during football season, it's not going to get watched. I don't know. I was
no,
just trying to be optimistic for the NHL, and you know, maybe they could get to another level, I guess you could say, and maybe get it the attention of the mothership. You know, like, hey, we are a sport.
Yeah, humorously, I realized, you know, part of their problem is the way, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network covers them. I was watching SportsCenter the other night, and even though, you know, the NHL opened up, I don't think they showed up in the show till about the C block. So it's just kind of like, oh, okay. And then I was watching one of the other shows, and, you know, and I mean, these are people who do this for a living. Couldn't remember the name of the two teams that were in the Stanley Cup final. But yet this gentleman gets paid to cover sports. So paid to cover and paid to talk about it. Couldn't remember who they were.
I blame it on the fact that we don't use newspapers anymore.
So, yeah, you know, because obviously he's not, you know, his internet searches don't have anything to do with the NHL. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. But I do want to ask you, while we were talking about basketball, did you see this whole MVP BS where LeBron complained that he didn't win?
Oh, God, no. You know, he must have paid somebody out, or the NBA or ESPN, to suppress those searches, because I haven't looked a whole lot yet, but I didn't see anything through my feed or when I did my daily Bing searches where I get 150 points a day for free that I'm going to use for some free stuff. Like last year, I got my wife a Ninja Foodie. Anyway.
Oh yeah, how is that?
It's awesome. It's expensive, but it's definitely worth it. I'm still learning, you know. You got an air fryer, an instant pot, and then something that steams. I don't really know what that is. You can, like, steam cook stuff. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. If you do that and you make hot dogs, it's like you went. We're in the, you know, the city park and you got it off a hot dog. I'm not kidding. You know, all you needed was that warm bun.
Don't tease me with hot dogs while I'm on this diet, all right?
All right. But, yeah, I mean, as I trail off, I don't remember what we're talking about.
LeBron crying about not winning the MVP award. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see any of it, but, I mean, doesn't he do that every time? Like, he doesn't think the guy is up to his echelon? You know, like, he cried when Steph Curry.
I think this is kind of the first year he came out and really said that he should have won. You know, in most cases, he does take shots at the guy who won. But, yeah, this year he pretty much just kind of said he should have won. And I was just like, really? You know, do you have a case for why you shouldn't have won, or are you just throwing it out there because you're LeBron? And what I would find weird, Dan, is if I'm on a team, we're in the middle of trying to win a championship, and this guy's crying about not winning an MVP. See, that would bother me. You know, I know all these other guys are just going to fall in line, and in reality, they can't say anything because he's LeBron and he just has chipped off in the offseason. But yeah, I mean, that would kick me off if I was, you know, if I was trying to win here and he's worried about some individual award.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, but, you know, he probably had that sentiment to begin with. And I was going to say the old interview in the locker rooms, but, you know, that could have been a question in the Zoom meeting, and he just, you know, immediately said, I should have won. Probably had that in his brain beforehand, you know.
Yeah, anytime they pull stuff like that, I'm like, really? You know, you're a great team player. That's fantastic. So,
yeah.
So. You know, and I know, you know, what anybody out there is thinking. Yes, I do know who's in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Dallas Stars. The series is currently tied 1-1, and they don't play till tomorrow. So don't get your panties in a bunch. I do know what's going on. I watch more of the NHL than I do the NBA. So don't freak out and start a campaign to have Dan and I thrown off the air, because I did pay attention to what's going on. So, you know, and I also know that, I am going to butcher this last name like you would believe, but the Edmonton Oilers, I believe he's a forward, if I remember correctly, Leon, and this is Draisaitl. Draisaitl. He won the Hart Trophy, which, of course, is given to the most valuable player. So I'm even caught up on that. And not only did he win it, he won it unanimously. So there were no questions asked. Yeah.
Is that like the Bret Hart? The Hart family
the
trophy?
Bret Hart Trophy. Yeah. So he won also the Stu Hart Trophy. But,
yeah, that's where I'm going.
Uh-oh. You know, yeah, he becomes the first. He becomes the first German player to win the award, and then he also won the Ted Lindsay Award for most outstanding player. So, there you go. You're all caught up on some of your NHL news. You're interested there, and like I said, I do pay attention. Not always closely, but I do pay attention, and I do know, like I said, I know who's in the Stanley Cup Finals, unlike somebody who's getting paid to cover and talk about sports for a living. But, all right, well, you know, Dan, like I kind of mentioned earlier, how are you rooting for the Cardinals to have to play two games on Monday to finish this, to figure this all out, or do you just kind of want them to get into the playoffs and get this, make the season over?
kind of like just get it over with. I don't know. It's rough. It'll play out how it is, but.
Yeah, because, you know, the playoffs start Tuesday, and I think what's going to end up being really interesting is there's a possibility, like, if every series goes the limit, that a team is going to have to play 15 days in a row. That's a lot of stress on a pitching staff. How do you think these guys are going to hold up if you see a team get kind of stretched out in games, especially with as bad as some of the relievers have been this season?
I mean, it's a tough call, but I think you're almost going to have to rely on the fact that for at least 3 days, certain guys may not just be used at all, right?
Yeah, I mean, you would think, right? So, and obviously, you know, the last thing you're looking for are injuries. You know, I know the Rockies weren't really contending, but, you know, they ended up losing Nolan Arenado. Chris Bryant left the Cub game last night with what they're calling oblique tightness. And I guess he won't be in the lineup tonight, but, you know, I mean, this is that point where you can't have these kind of injuries. You can't have any injuries, really. You know, the Braves just lost Cole Hamels. He made one start for them, and they shut him down. He's done. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I know the Reds just brought Sonny Gray back, but you got to wonder if he'll have enough time to actually be effective, you know, come playoff time. I just don't know. It's kind of weird the way this is going to play out. And I'm, I do kind of feel I'm to the point, Dan, where whichever team gets the best bullpen pitching is going to win the whole thing.
Pretty much.
You know, and then I did hear the debate last night. I was, you know, again, they screwed up my overnight listening in my office at work. I can only get AM, and I have very few stations to choose from. So the guy I was listening to got canned, so I'm back to listening to local sports talk. And he was questioning the kind of thing that you and I have been talking about for weeks, so I appreciate him listening to the podcast. What's the validity of a World Series win? And he actually had people calling in, Dan, that were on the opposite side of where you and I are and think it's perfectly a legitimate world title if your team goes out and wins a championship after a 60-game regular season. I just can't buy it. Has anything happened to change your mind?
No.
So. You know, and I don't know, you got any idea? Because, like, nobody really gave reasons for why they thought it would be legitimized. What do you think the thought process is? Because I have no clue.
Games were played, and MLB said it's a season. You know,
and I guess it helps if your team's in the playoff, right? I guess that helps.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think about it because, you know, as a kid, you know, no offense, I don't think it was you, but there's always that one kid you hate. You know, he usually doesn't – not that he doesn't have friends. Everyone's friends, but everyone hates him. You know, maybe he doesn't have friends, but – because he always pulls stuff like that. Like, well, it is because it is. You know, no real answer, no debate. No discussion. It's just MLB played the games. It's a legitimate season, you know. So
yeah, no, I wasn't that kid, fortunately, but I still think everybody hated me.
Yeah.
But that's another story. but yeah, I just, you know, and again, I was hoping for some interesting debate while they were all kind of talking about it. But yeah, nobody really. You know, gave me anything. And all I kept sitting there thinking is, I'm like, really? I mean, if they would have played a half of a season, I would have probably been able to buy it. But, you know, again, I mean, you know, you look at 60 games and, you know, I mean, do we honestly think if we had a full season, the Marlins would hang on to a playoff spot?
No.
You know, I mean, they, you know, they started to slip a little as it is. So, yeah, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, this is where we're going, you know.
It's not the developmental league.
Right. You know, and I mean, obviously, to me, it's humorous, and I want to see, you know, teams like the Marlins get in or – you know, maybe the Giants sneak in the National League because nobody's expecting them to. You know, I'm okay with that, especially this year. But, you know, that just kind of adds to the idea that it doesn't all really matter all that much. And, you know, the fact that we have a good chance of getting under 500 teams in just adds to it, doesn't it? I mean, how much, you know, imagine if one of these teams gets hot, you know, like, the Reds and the Cardinals are each one game over, the Brewers are one game under. It looks like two of those teams are going to get in. What does it say, Dan, if a 500 team rolls through these playoffs and wins it all?
It'll just, that would just give a reason why for all the proponents of expanding the playoffs, you know, because it's anybody's game, blah, blah, blah. Where I think it does take away some value in the fact, the sense that the change would happen, you know, say this year, next year, but then people would just get acclimated to it. So it wouldn't be a big difference in the later days, you know, we would just be the old guys on the porch, but
yeah,
you know, so there's that part of it. But I mean, I'm, you know, that's what makes it hard is, you know, do you stick to the division setup or do you go to the NHL NBA way? Because at least that way, well, there's still under 500 teams getting in. But, you know, in baseball, if you seeded it that way, the teams under 500, maybe only one would get in because they got lucky, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I you wonder if they're going to continue to do this, you know, just have two conferences, you know, have one American League and one National League, and the top four teams in, on each side get in. You know, and just kind of go that route. Because what I'm also wondering is, you know, Dan, if they stick with this, there's no reward for winning your division.
No.
I mean, you know, maybe it would be different, you know, in the second round if we weren't playing at a neutral site. But, you know, I mean, like, all you get if, you know, if you're the higher seed is you get to host the three-game series. But, you know, I mean, with no fans going to be in there, or maybe limited fans, again, depending on where you play, we may actually get some fans in. I'm sure you saw for, you know, the NFL, they had fans in certain areas. I know Dallas had people in, and, you know, Kansas City's allowed to have fans in, so... You know, depending on where these baseball games are played, you would think Tampa would be allowed to have a certain number of fans in because I believe Florida is doing that. So, you know, they're at home, but I don't know it's about too many of the other places. So does a three-game home series really matter? It's just going to seem like a regular season series, isn't it?
Pretty much. But, I mean, it's playoff vibes. So that's where you get the difference, ain't it?
Yeah, but I wonder, without fans, do you think it's gonna feel like a playoff vibe?
Not really. No, I could see where you could get that. You know, it'll still be the same vibe as the regular season, you know, regardless of it's the World Series or any of it, so... I don't think it wholly matters. It's just, I don't know, is this the best way to do it? Or, you know, and I think that's part of the reason why it's not so simple as to just change, you know, the playoff seeding, how many teams are in there, you know, division. Because like you said, you know, it just kind of, it throws it off if you keep it the three ways, if you're going to keep adding the teams. You don't want to get, you know, a team that's under 500 that makes it in because they just, their division sucked, where, you know, there's an entire other division with four teams over 500 and, you know, two of them don't make it because, you know, it's just the way the seeding goes. You know, and if they went back to the old American League, National League, that could be a way where they could, what do you call it? Do the expansion where you add just two teams. And,
yeah.
You know, both leagues are technically even. And then it kind of throws it off. I mean, because you're always going to have those rivals with the Cubs and the Cardinals, Red Sox, Yankees. You know, does it make – I guess I'd have to look at, which I don't have access to currently, but probably take a long time to look at, you know, what the scheduling was like for the 70s, 80s, you know, before the three divisions, and how they scheduled the games. You know, did they schedule them regionally, or, you know, how did that work?
Yeah. Well, you know, that would be a question we would, you know, need to find out, right?
But yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of positive. I think if they, you know, if you're going to go with this format, I think, like you said, you need to go to the AL-NL. And not go to it, go back to it. And then you could, you know, do a different playoff setting. It would add some excitement, I think. And then, you know, I think they get too caught up on, oh, you know, the rivals. Well, you can create a, you know, you got to have some kind of programmer who can create something that schedules certain games, certain, you know, certain groups of teams differently. You don't have to have East, West, Central, but, you know, on your computer, you could just put those things and, you know, geographically put these teams together a few more times than they would with the other leagues. And I think if they went that route and then expanded, don't you think we could basically eliminate interleague play and bring it back to, like, a week-long series? So something like just once in a while.
Yeah, I. You know what's humorous is I almost wish they would do interleague play like they did this year, and you would only play the teams in the corresponding division.
Yeah.
Just to kind of add something to it there, but I just don't. You know, I don't see them doing that because they want the ticket sales of the Yankees going out to play the Dodgers or vice versa, you know, the Dodgers coming to New York. You know, baseball wants those ticket sales and those big marquee TV games. So they're just never going to give this up. And the weird part is, Dan, is I don't even know if they've realized that they've destroyed the game just over greed. But that's sports,
yeah,
isn't
I
it?
Think. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, isn't it, that's what it's all about is the money?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we know the deal, right? You know, cash rules everything around me. We got the deal behind it there. So, just kind of weird. But, you know, we'll see. And I did decide one thing over the weekend that I think we got to kind of figure something out. Dan, I've decided that the MLB Network has way too much power when it comes to awards. You know, because they get on a guy and they push a guy constantly for an award. And, you know, like if they get on a guy early in the year like Fernando Tatis Jr., they don't let him go, even though he's probably not the National League MVP any longer. He was for a 2-week or maybe a month-long period, but a lot of other players have went past him, especially, you know, Manny Machado on his own team may be a better candidate for MVP. But, you know, since he's been pushed out there, you know, he gets in these voters' minds, and these guys don't forget these things because, you know, a lot of them don't pay enough attention to vote for who's actually the MVP. They're worried about getting out of there in under 3 hours and, you know, could care less about the actual game. But, you know, there's really kind of no way to rectify this, is there? Because, you know, they're not going to let go of their guy. They're going to grab a guy and ride him for all he's worth. And what's odd is there's very little mention of White Sox players, even though Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu are both really good MVP candidates. The White Sox, for whatever reason, just don't get a lot of love. And you've mentioned that here a couple times. But I'm looking at this and I can't come up with a way to correct it just because they're of their inane, and I don't want to call it stupidity, but their inane ability to actually do research and look other places.
Now, is it the whole network? Is it, do you feel like it's their agenda, or is it just Brian Kenny and then everyone?
No, I haven't heard anything from Brian Kenny because generally when he's on, I change the channel because if I worked with him, I'd punch him in the face. It's just been kind of every other thing I watch. You know, and anytime you see Fernando Tatis, the first thing they come up with is MVP candidate. But, you know, if you go and you look, Machado has outplayed him. And oddly, like, they haven't even mentioned that Jose Ramirez has probably been the best player in the American League for the last 3 weeks. and really moved himself into the MVP race because all they want to talk about is Luke Voit and his home runs because he's a Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, you know, I mean, it's going to be sad when Luke Voit walks away with the MVP trophy. And while he's having a great year and it's really a career year for him, he's not the MVP. You know, I'm sorry. He hasn't been, you know, the best player in the American League, which is where the award goes. You know, and I mean, if you start looking around, yeah, he did really well while Judge and Stanton were out. But, you know, if Ramirez wasn't playing the way he is now, the Indians probably don't get in the playoffs. You know, nobody had the White Sox to be pegged where they were. There were people saying, oh, yeah, they might get a wild card. Nobody had them, yeah, you know, hanging on to first place. I don't know if they'll finish there because they're only a game and a half ahead of the Twins. But, you know, they're in the playoffs. So, yeah, it just baffles me that they latch on and just don't want to let go. And it's almost kind of biased reporting. So you get Chris Russo on the network, who's an East Coast guy and I believe a Yankee fan. Well, who's he going to push for MVP? There's no Chicago based guys out there pushing Abreu and Anderson, or a Midwest guy pushing Ramirez. You know, and God forbid they talk about the West Coast. So. And if they do, it's the Dodgers and Mookie Betts.
Because they're used to talking about Mookie.
Yeah. You know, and again, I mean, you know, these guys are all having great years. But, you know, when you got to start looking at it, you know, you have to realize that there are other candidates. And, you know, like I had this battle last year. Remember how I was saying Jorge Soler, while he shouldn't win the MVP, should get votes? Because he put up numbers in the category that everybody loves. Well, nobody talked about him because the Royals stunk, even though I believe he led the American League in home runs. He got one tenth place vote last year, Dan. That's how much attention the writers paid to him. He had a great season. Made it onto one ballot. You know, again, and like I said, he shouldn't have won the award. Should have got more than one 10th place vote. So, you know, it's just, you know, and I mean, that's the tough part is you really wonder, do these guys really care about these awards, or is it just kind of the ballot shows up and, you know, they hand it to their intern or their coworker or their son, hey, fill this out for me, or their daughter maybe, who knows? You know, I mean, it's like the college football ballots where we found out a few years ago that there were coaches who just handed them to, you know, their assistant, you know, their intern or whoever was standing there because they didn't have the time to fill it out. They were coaching the team. Here, fill this out for me. So, great. There you go. That's an arbitrary way of getting something done, I guess.
Yeah. Coach, trust me, though.
Yeah. You know, so I don't get it. I'm trying to think of a way that it could be rectified, and I just, unfortunately, I can't see one because, you know, basically they have, you know, they're the baseball network, so everybody's going to believe what they say, even if they're wrong.
Yeah, well. They could do this in baseball. They couldn't be able to do this with real politics, right?
isn't that that's a different podcast, I believe, isn't it? So,
yeah.
You know, because unfortunately, I think we all know the answer to that. I don't know how many people are willing to admit it, but I think we all know the answer. You know, just one of those things. So there it is. That's what I was looking for. So, all right, Dan, they posted an article about every team's MVP. Who wrote this funky article here? Well, it's a credit to the MickeyMouse.com staff. So apparently it was a staff article. And, you know, being Mr. Cub here, well, maybe not Mr. Cub because Schomburg Stu's here occasionally. Who's your Cub MVP? That's what I want to know.
Whew. Jeremy Jeffrey?
Yeah, that's not who that is, but okay. I actually thought it should be Jason Hayward.
Yeah.
But I'm not really surprised that they took the easy way out here and went with Yu Darvish. Because again, God forbid you're going to do any research, you're just going to get the article up because they need it, and you can't take the time to actually look into how a team is doing. So, but yeah, not surprisingly, they went with Darvish. He should be the Cy Young winner. I have a feeling they're going to end up screwing him out of it, but you know, he's 7-2 with a 1.86 ERA. He's wrapped up 79 Ks in 63 innings. So, you know, he's having a hell of a season. And like I said, he should win the National League Cy Young. But, you know, I don't equate pitchers with MVPs. So that immediately disqualifies any pitcher.
Yeah, well, and, you know, Jason Hayward is out of it because he only has 6 home runs. You know, the .291 batting average doesn't mean anything, where the .912 OPS, you know, doesn't mean a whole lot. So...
Hayward's kind of been the guy who, it seems every time the Cubs have needed something, he's been the guy to come through.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously Chris Bryant has choked his brains out all year. Kyle Schwarber's was such an embarrassment that they had to take him out of a game for not hustling. You know, Rizzo isn't putting up, he's hitting homers, but he's not putting up the average, you know, that you would like to see. So, you know, and you know, I know Ian Happ is having a really good year, so that's a plus. But you know, Hayward kind of seems to be the clutch guy, and you know, he comes through. So, but
you're
again, yeah, you know, you what?
The great, I was gonna say, so the great Bambino got Castro'd.
Yeah. So I'm looking here to see who else they have for some of these other teams, and it's weird because they do a lot of cop outs and take pictures. It's kind of strange how they just kind of bail on it. So but yeah, it actually doesn't look like they took Mike Trout for the Angels. It looked like they went with Anthony Rendon. So,
wow.
Here's the reason, Dan. Baseball Reference hates Mike Trout's defensive metric. So it gives the edge to Anthony Rendon. That's a fantastic reason, isn't it? So... That's great. I couldn't be any happier that's the way they went. So,
are you sarcastic or
serious? A little of both. So, but yeah, I think that's kind of humorous. So, but yeah, so you know, again, you know, if you want to check it out, go find it on the Mickey Mouse website, because I don't care enough to. It just kind of makes me laugh, and you know, it's like, yeah, okay, here you go. Here I pounded this article out for you, but I went with all pitchers just to make my life easier. But what can you do?
Yeah.
So, well, you know, since we're rolling on to what is apparently the end of the baseball regular season, what is, you know, besides like the Marlins hanging around in the playoffs, what have you been surprised about, and then what is, you know, disappointed you?
Well, I can wrap that up in one, just not totally baseball-wise, but the fact that I'm surprised that the Marquee Network finally is streaming. And it's sad that it took so long for Comcast customers. So I've been able to start catching up.
Let's
watching
something on the field that you watched.
Yeah.
So
I had to throw that in there. You know, it killed both with two birds with one stone. I don't know. I think the biggest surprise to me, though, is the fact that Tampa's just kind of taking it away in that league or that division. I wish I was surprised about the AL Central, but I'm really not. I am maybe a little bit surprised that Cleveland's still sticking it out, even though they kind of keep shipping everybody off. But, you know, it's just hard, because especially with the American League, you look at the East and Central, and with a full season, not 60 games, because, I mean, we've seen seasons where 30 games in, you know, between April and May are just, you know, crap. You know, the team goes like 12 and whatever. And then a month later or 2 months later, middle of summer, you know, like the Dodgers still win 27 games in a row or whatever it was. So, or 27-3 or something, you know, something close to that. But I think that's the hardest part, where it makes it, this makes it exciting, but at the same time, knowing it's not a full season kind of dilutes it, you know. I'm not going to knock on the White Sox, but let's be honest. They haven't really been able to hold on to something like that for a whole season in the last couple seasons. But it is exciting to see, you know, the young guys kind of coming through and really living up to the hype behind them. Because I still think that Cleveland and Minnesota would be at the top towards the end of the season. And the White Sox might be fighting to get in, you know, get the extra wild card, if that. So, you know, and even with the East, how many times has Tampa been in the lead in the early mid-season? But when it comes down to it, they end up crawling in, you know. So I think that's what's surprising. You know, the AL West doesn't really surprise me. But, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that surprised me. I think the National League is where it was meant to be, with the exception of Miami. So, I don't know. Are you kind of in the same boat?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so difficult to, you know, just be kind of like, oh, hey, you know, what's kind of been what, but. You know, I mean, there are, like I said, you know, I mean, you know, like I mentioned, the Marlins, you know, that's been fun and obviously a huge surprise. You know, I think I'm disappointed that it's just 60 games and we're, we talk about this every time we talk about baseball, you know, we're just not going to get a true representation of a World Series winner. You know, No. There's just no way, you know, we're going to be able to see that. You know, and I mean, I've been, you know, pleasantly surprised by the way some of the rookies played. You know, Kyle Lewis is having a great year in Seattle. You know, Luis Roberts is really, you know, showing that he's for real. You know, Jake Cronenworth kind of came out of nowhere with the Padres. I don't remember him being anybody, you know, mentioned as anybody who was going to win NL Rookie of the Year, and it looks like he'll run away with that. He may even be a unanimous selection. I can't think of another NL rookie off the top of my head who's doing anything close to where he is. So, you know, I mean, that's some of the good, but, you know, we'll see how the playoffs go.
Just head on over to TuneIn.com and see whatever you want.
Fourth Time Radio.